But one more time for old time's sake, I'm going to clown one more time for one reputation.
Okay, tell me.
Okay. New Year's Day. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Hate Spinnerbait, the podcast where we hate spinnerbait, but we love all of you who have joined us this year, 2024, listening, whether it was you just found us this year or you've been listening to day one. Thanks for coming along on the meltdowns, the journeys, the us talking about Sweden. Thank you.
Yes.
Bethany, with me as always is Michael Ann. Michael Ann, right off the bat, let's get some housekeeping done. And then I think we have a little bit of errors to our recap. And then we are discussing chapters 13, 14. But housekeeping. Hello, everyone. I think when we originally discussed the schedule, we were feeling funky fresh. And we were like, we're going to go until we're only going to take 2 weeks off. And then we remembered how stressful the holidays are and how burnt out you feel at the end of the year. And mental health is important. So we said, we're actually going to take 3 weeks off. So hello, everyone. This is the last episode of 2024. What? Oh, my God.
Hi.
Our beloved Hate Spinnerbait. Welcome to the last show of the year. Our tour is coming back very soon. It's going to be 2025.
Yeah.
Yes, this is the season finale of the 2024 season. So that's just A, housekeeping. B, coming to your listening ears and or you can watch our beautiful faces on YouTube in 2025, we will be doing chaos bi-weekly because sometimes there's just not enough to talk about. Sometimes we're tired. We get to the halfway week and we're like, we don't want to record an episode for Thursday. Yeah. Full stop, honesty. So, yes. So we love gabbing. We're always going to be Gabby girls. But we're like, you know, I think bi-weekly is the way to go. Moving forward for chaos. We're still going to do Destin Tuesdays as long as we have Destin content to talk about. Because we are starting to breathe in. Please publish your next book, Our Queen. But we'll be back weekly for that and doing bi-weekly chaos. And then as we inevitably, I'm assuming in 2025, we will inevitably wrap up Destin. We'll let you know what we'll be reading from there. Few ideas bopping around, but we'll get there. And again, hopefully our queen will have a published book soon that we can discuss with y'all. So that is housekeeping. Did I forget anything else in housekeeping, Michael Ann?
Follow us. Give us 5 stars, like our page on YouTube, anywhere, all the places. We're on YouTube, people. You can see our faces.
Yes, you can see today we have really great lower thirds and you can only see, I'm not going to read them. Have to come find us on YouTube to see what they are. They're very appropriate. And we're also both wrapping our Eras Tour shirts with a Taylor Swift cardigan. Mine is the Eras one. It's not official licensed Taylor Swift merch, but it's a fantastic cardigan and I can't believe they came out with a whole Eras like tour surprise piano collection and they didn't give a cardigan. Shocking.
I know.
But yeah, these are the things you can see if you're watching us on YouTube. So do that. My lighting just got really weird. You can also see that how terrible my lighting goes throughout an episode. If you find us on YouTube, but yeah. I like stickers. You like stickers. Give us a review. 5-star review. To be clear, don't be mean to us. We're very sensitive. It's a very jarring time. I saw a post the other day, obviously with all the errors for a wrap-up post, that was like, it's really not cool that the only thing that's been like keeping my sanity in check the last 2 years is ending as Donald Trump is about to take presidency next year. And I was like, ain't that the damn truth? This has been my safe space bubble. And now I don't have it. But yes. Okay, so yeah, before we obviously are not finishing saying anything today. You will be coming back in the new year to read some more of that, so look forward to that. But before we do discuss that, any Eras Tour wrap-up thoughts that you have for us, Michael Ann?
Well, I can't wait to see what she was filming all weekend. Also, I need to be honest. I need to speak my truth.
Speak your truth.
I haven't watched any clips from the last Eras Tour.
I need you to like sit in a little huddled like ball this weekend. Find a comfy place on your couch with a blankie. Get some like tea cocoa, whatever your hot beverage of choice is, and watch some of it and just have a cathartic cry. Because I'm telling you, your soul will feel both sad yet replenished from the experience.
I know. I have to watch it, but I'm so bad at endings. I like used to be really obsessed with this show, Orphan Black. Never watched the last episode ever. Mm. Never watched the last season of Grace and Frankie.
That's crazy. Wow, look at you.
I know. It's
you're like, I can't do it. If you don't watch it, then it's not officially over. Is that like what it's like?
Yeah. Yeah.
I can respect that. I do.
I might restart Orphan Black though, because it's been a while and that show is good. Have you ever seen Orphan Black?
No, but I'm very aware of it. My friend of the show, Kristen, North Carolina Kristen, who was with us on the day that we met our queen, our girl, Sarah D. That's weird. I'm never going to say that again. But she was a big Orphan Black fan and kept being like, watch it, watch it. And this was during the era where we both would like pick shows to torture each other with. And by torture, I mean like in a good way. I was like, I watched this thing. I cried for 3 hours. You should watch it too. And we would. And I was like, I don't have the mental capacity. I don't think it's like super sad, but like, I was like, I don't have the mental capacity for that right now. And so I just never watched it. And maybe on your rewatch, I'll do a first watch and we can discuss it, because it is always something I've meant to watch and I just have never gotten around to it. So New Year's resolution, watch Orphan Black.
It's very uplifting. It's very uplifting. You'll love it.
That's on my radar. I
love her final song. I know now you guys, if you're on my YouTube, if you're on my YouTube,
my YouTube, I own YouTube.
If you're
on now,
if you're on YouTube, you can now get glimpses of my dogs in the background.
Yes. And occasionally, like last week when Andrew just crawled to the door and we're like, we can still see you.
Yes. Sometimes my dogs are on the floor. Sometimes my husband's on the floor.
You never know what you might find.
You never know.
Both are quality content. And these are the things that you could see if you're on the YouTube. Yes, exactly. I don't know where my Wonder Woman pen went, y'all. And that was like my fidget of this episode. And I've lost it.
Is it in your hand?
This is Justin from Stranger Things. Oh. So I was fidgeting with him. But oh, she's in my lap.
Okay.
Because I just like the pointiness of her headband. And I've been like kind of just, I don't know, picking up that for some reason. Because it's grounding me apparently. But anywho, yes, I did watch it. I stayed up way too late. I'm also the type of person who, y'all, like when I get upset, I can't just like turn it off. And so I then had to sit there for like another 20 minutes after the show ended to like compose myself so I could shut off my brain to go to bed. And I was like, this is going to be a real rough Monday. But I don't know how you did it. I was very tired. I went to bed pretty early on Monday night, but no regrets. I'm really happy that I stayed up and watched it. It was a moment in time and such an iconic part, obviously, of the last 2 years of our lives. And then like the next day, all these other things. Oh my God, I watched this thing and I told this girl at work, so I'm not going to tell you my thing because I know you'll cry. But it was a story of her and her dog in the Eras tour. And let me tell you, watch that on Monday, overtired, sobbed through that. Then was like telling someone at work and I made her cry just telling her. And I was like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have told you. But it was like one of those things that like I witnessed it and I needed someone else to know. And then I was like, I'm so sorry, I should not have told you that. So I won't tell anyone else this.
Die?
Yes, but not obviously while she was at the Eras. Well, I guess it could have been while she was at the Eras tour. But do you want me to tell you? It's very sad.
Yes. Now I need to know.
Okay. So all these people were doing their like thank you to the Eras tour posts, obviously, like this weekend, Monday, whatever. I was watching all these things. And this one just really got me because obviously being a dog mom, she posted about how like she was someone who, like most of us, watched a lot of the live streams. She had this dog, I think her name was Bella. And she started picking up Bella during Enchanted and like dancing with her, like the background dancers kind of dance with each other during Enchanted. And then, of course, this past summer, her dog unfortunately got diagnosed with cancer. They had a few more happy months. And she's like, we tried to get as many live streams and as dances as we could. And then they literally show a clip of her at the vet's office dancing with Bella one more time before Bella goes to her final resting place while the song Enchanted is playing in the background, and was like, thank you so much. Like the Eras tour, like really like mean so much to me because of the that. And I'm just like ugly sobbing. It is the saddest thing I've ever seen. And I like every time I talk about it, like I get chills. Like I was telling this girl at work the other day, and I like if she was tear, like she literally like perfect little teardrop fell because it's sad. And I'm like getting chills, and then she's crying and I'm crying, and I'm like, I don't know why I told you this. I'm so sorry. But like I just had to tell, I had to share it with someone. And yeah, like it just gets me in my feels every time. And I was like, oh my God. And it was a really beautifully thing. And yeah. it was, it's very beautiful. It's very sad, but like, it's one of those like bittersweet things where you're like, that's so beautiful. And like, what a beautiful like memory she has with her dog. And you should always have that, and how much, you know, the Heiress obviously meant to her. So it was very lovely. Lots of just great stories like that, obviously the last 2 days, and that's been really nice. But yeah, you know, and like, I'm like such a sucker, y'all, for all those hosts. That's like the air, like at the end of the day, like the Heiress tour is like who you went with. And it's like, yes, like my favorite part, obviously, of both my shows is like, you know, like obviously Sweden was iconic. Like, and the fact that I got to go with you and Katie, and like how much like the two of us will just like message each other about Taylor Swift and like how much that connects us or whatever. And so I'm just like, I'm going to mess this week over, in the grand scheme of things, something really like dumb, but like it is very meaningful, and it's very meaningful to a lot of people. And I just think it's beautiful. And can I all just one more time in 2024, because you know we're going to clown in 2025, but one more time for old time's sake, I'm going to clown one more time for One Reputation.
Okay, tell me.
Okay. New Year's Day.
Okay.
Because the song New Year's Day, and we're entering the year of the snake. I think just absolutely no explanation as per Reputation. It's just, we're going to wake up on New Year's Day. It's the year of the snake. It's New Year's Day. And she's just going to mother effing drop it, because everyone was like, you know, it's the end of the tour and she didn't announce it. And like, when's she going to announce it and whatever? And I was like, that's it. Like, I just want her to like disappear, run off in the woods in December, live her life. And then like New Year's Day, she just drops Reputation and also just like runs off and lives her life for a few months without us harassing her.
Yes.
And then she can like, you know, come back into society and like rule the world again. But yeah, that's what I want.
I love that. First of all, also, I want to say it is not dumb to get upset over the Heiress tour. The Heiress tour is not dumb. It was a beautiful experience for so many of us, and it like really created a strong community, and it was a beautiful safe space. It was just like something very special for women to experience, and I feel women and girls.
I feel like it's going to be one of those things that, in, you know, like my nieces and nephews who are, you know, all 10 and under right now, in like 20 years, when we're like talking about it, and they'll be like, you know, Aunt B, you were at the Heiress tour. And I'll be like, I can't like fully explain what it was like. Like, it's one of those, it's like when people that like saw the Beatles all those years ago, and you're like, oh my God, I saw the Beatles. And they're like, I can't tell you what it was like to have been there. Like, that's what I feel like. This is our generations of that. Like, it was truly like a once in a lifetime thing. And I'll like think about it always.
Yeah.
But I won't ever fully be able to put into words like what the experience was like. And I know people are like, it's a concert. Like, I see, but I'm like, no, like to have been there, like, I can't explain what it was like. Like, obviously, all of y'all that are listening that went to your own shows, like, know what I mean. But yes, like, you just had to be there, man.
If you didn't go to the shows and you just watched the live streams, I feel like that's special as well.
I feel like I feel like you get it. Like, you were part of it. Like, the live stream thing, and that's another thing. Like, there's no other, like, yes, I understand people are, like, going live for other concerts, but, like, it was such a community, just the live streams, and, like, people playing Mastermind and all of that. And that's another thing that, like, I feel like you won't be able to explain to people in, you know, 20, 30 years. Like, yeah, we all, like, got together every weekend and, like, hypothesized about what surprise song was going to be and what outfit combo she was wearing. And we all just watched these same grainy live streams and, like, talked to each other about it. And it was beautiful. And people will be like, what? That's, like, y'all did. Yes, every weekend.
Yeah.
Well, that, you know, obviously she was touring. And yeah, like, that's just something that, like, I'm like, I don't know if you're ever going to have something like that again. And I also feel like whatever tour she does next is going to be so – it's going to be amazing, because there's never a show she's ever put on that's been bad. But, like, it's going to be so vastly different from this. And I'm not saying that it's not going to be a great thing, but it's, like, it's not – like, this was lightning in a bottle, and, like, you're just – you're never going to be able to recreate, like, this kind of magic again, I feel like. Yeah. And like, and but that's in a way, like, that's a good thing. Like, there's something kind of like beautiful about that, you know? But yeah, I'm like, I just feel like the next tour, truly, because she just did this, like, whatever. I want it to be like super, like, whatever the album that she puts out next that she tours. Like, I want it to be very much that. Like, you play a couple of things, but like, I don't want you to play any of the big hits on the next tour. Like, I want it to be very different. And like, I'm not saying don't inevitably go back to doing the hits one day, but because you just had a tour that was so about like celebrating the eras, I think you have to. And just like, again, y'all, like, she truly, like, I know we say it all the time, but she is such a mastermind. Like, to do the surprise song mashups that she did, to have it the very first song she did in the surprise song be a debut song, and then the very last mashup end with the very last track on her most recent album. Like, it was just such a beautiful, like, we were closing a chapter on those airs. That was debut to TTPD. We did it. It was beautiful. And now she can do, yeah, whatever, step into the next era, whatever that is. I'm excited for it, obviously. But also, I'm like, girl, go rest. Like, you take your time. Yes. We'll be here, like, whenever you want to hit the road again, whenever you want to grace us with, you know, a new album or whatever, we'll be here. Like, the last few years were so, like, we were just getting so much content, which was great. But I think, I'm like, I'm totally cool with her just kind of, like, taking a chill year. If she wants to release, like, you know, Reputation and debut during that time, cool. But, like, don't do anything else. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. So yeah, I agree. Agreed. Taken much needed, much deserved vacation.
Yes. Well,
let's be honest. She goes on a lot of vacations, but you know what I mean. Vacation from work.
Exactly. All right. Well, I feel like that pretty much wraps that up. Let's talk Destin, baby.
Yes. All right.
Quick little recap before we discuss chapter 13, 14. Yes, Sydney is our girl. Her brother was involved in a DUI, drunk driving accident. He was the one who was drunk driving, paralyzed this poor 15-year-old. And he obviously is now in prison for that. Mom is like hella obsessed. And in recent chapters, she, like, he basically got his, like, visitation rights revoked, and so mom was, like, very, like, thinking it was the PTA high school and was like, I need answers, and then we have rights, and was getting, like, this advocate involved and the lawyer involved and this and the other thing. Meanwhile, our girl is finally, like, getting some much-needed, like, community, speaking of community, with the Chatham family. Mom's great. Layla's wonderful. Mag is a little cutie, so woon. We love him. He's a real sweetheart. All that's going great. She just had, like, this, like, magical, basically, like, sleepover at their house full of people, energy, vibes. And Ames is a creepy, creepy McCreeperston. Anything that I missed? I feel like that sums up pretty much what we've read so far.
I think that sums it up.
It doesn't. All right. Yes. Wonderful. Okay. Chapter 13. Hit it.
It opens up with her saying that she thought she dodged a bullet a family day, but she didn't really, because they're all going to go to see Peyton because he's graduating from some class and they're giving him some sort of certificate or something. Yes. Yeah. And yeah, she says, from the way she said it, so proud, you would have thought he was getting an Ivy League diploma, not a certificate from a prison program that was, in fact, mandatory. Because that's mom. That's what she does. She really hypes up Peyton constantly. It's a civics and law class. It's happening at the end of November. She tries to get out of it immediately. She's like, I have to go to school. And she's like, well, this is important, so you're going to miss a day. End of discussion. There's nothing about that that's going to change. Plans were made, two hotel rooms booked, one for her and her mom and one for her dad and Ames.
Of course he's coming.
It's so weird. And, like, doesn't her brother think it's weird? Like, isn't he like, bro, why are you always at my house?
Like, dude, could you, like, get your own family?
Right. Like, what's going on here?
Disturbed.
Disturbing. Her mother, like, got into her mother mode and reached out to other families with graduates, as she's calling them, which is a lot, to coordinate a potluck and a little dessert area, and she's loving it. So she is so busy, she's not paying attention to Sydney at all, but Sydney is fine with that. So then we find out that Layla is not great at school. She doesn't like school. She doesn't like doing it. She's just like, no, thank you. She needed at least 2 or 3 yum-yums to get it done. And they're talking about the class that he took. And she's like, if going to school was the only activity I was allowed, I'd probably love it. And Sydney says, I raise an eyebrow at her. And Layla says, okay, maybe not. So then they get distracted and they go to Super Thrift. And this is tough. This is tough.
Oh, yes. This is, yeah.
So she's like, okay, well, we're going to go to Super Thrift, but only for 10 minutes. Then you have to come back here and do your homework. So she talks about how, you know, she comes from money, so she didn't really thrift that much. But Layla is like an expert, and she always found the best stuff, and she was always able to find the perfect stuff for Sydney as well. She talks about how her mom was a bargain hunter, and she did this all the time, and she went to yard sales every weekend, and she was like big on that, which is fun. I used to go to yard sales with my mom, like drive around. And that was nice. I don't do that anymore.
I know. I feel like yard sales obviously still exist, but I feel like I don't see them like as part of, like, I'm like used to stick little signs like this way to the yard sale.
Yeah. So yeah.
Bring back yard sales, people.
Bring back yard sales. Yeah. She said she didn't realize how much of Layla's stuff is secondhand, but then she saw her closet for the first time, and she was like, it's meticulously organized and it's a source of pride. She like knows where she got every single item of clothing, how much it was. She's like, this is the bargain. She has these Courtney Amanda jeans from Thrift World. So amazing. We love that.
Yes. We love an environmentally conscious queen and a budget queen. You know, yes, you go, girl. You get your secondhand stuff.
I know. I love it. So yeah, all of her clothes had an origin story. Like, she really like romanticizes her life, if you will, which I love. Yes. And Sydney says that this is one more way she aspired to be like Layla. Layla didn't seem bothered by like Sydney's wealth at all, and you know, she was just like, it's just how it is.
Like a, right.
So she's like timing her. She's like 6 minutes, and she goes back to where the shoes are, just to kind of browse, and she finds this like really strange wall that's just full of galoshes, and they're all mixed matched, and they're all different sizes, and there's like a ton of them, and she's like, who has this many kids? Like, what is this coming from? And so she's staring at these boots, thinking about that. And then she hears a boy say, man, that's a lot of boots, huh? And she says, if you had asked me as I faced the Super Thrift footwear collection who I would see when I turned around, the last person who would have come to mind was David Ibarra. And yet there he was in jeans and red sweatshirt in his wheelchair smiling at me. So she panics. She goes deaf. She's just standing there open-mouthed. And
like, can you imagine? True, like this person she has been basically nonstop thinking about since her brother hit him, and been feeling this immense guilt, is just standing and for like just having a casual, has no idea who you are, and you very much know who he is. Like,
I know.
When I read this, I literally like gasped when she was like standing. I was like.
I know.
Like, what's going to happen? What is this exchange going to be?
Yeah, it was intense. He said, man, what's with all the boots? Oh, no, Layla says that, walking over, man, what's with all the boots? David Ibarra is like, that's what I was saying. Sydney is like, it feels like I don't deserve to be talking to him. Like, I'm deceiving right. him by being here. He should know who I am. Obviously, Layla knows exactly who he is. David Ibarra is like, guess it means there's a bunch of kids out there who are going to have wet feet next time it rains. And Layla's like, you know, when I see stuff like this, I want to buy it just for the story. And David Ibarra is like, not me. No, thank you. And then he leaves with his cousin. And, or his brother? He calls him brother, but I think it's his cousin.
Yeah, because in the article, they're like, everyone calls him brother. So I was like, this could be like family. It could be like a family friend. He's with someone and they're calling him because he's just, you know, of course, the guilt was like compounding when she read the article. Because it's like, he's like the most amazing kid and everyone calls him brother because he's family to all. And she's like, great. Yeah. Of course.
She's like, of course he is. My brother sucks.
Yeah. So he's with someone. We're not exactly sure.
Yes. And I don't know why I just assumed. And Layla like immediately knows she's freaking out. So she's like, take a breath. Like, you're scaring me. She's like, I know who that was. But let's just go. They stayed inside the store until David Ibarra was gone and the car he was in was long gone. She was like, I'm not going outside until he's gone, gone, gone. So Layla paid for her stuff and they went back to Seaside. And she says this time when they got back, Layla was the only one to get anything done. Sydney just sat there, textbook open. Whenever she tried to focus, she would just see the rainbow of galoshes mismatched and displaced. So then when she's leaving, she didn't even realize she like dropped all the clothes that she was holding at Super Thrift, but Layla got them and purchased them for her and just didn't want to say anything or just didn't say anything. And she says, I didn't want to be rude, so I took the things, pushing them deep into my closet once I was home. I knew my mom, in her donating mode, would eventually find them and ask if they were important. I'd have to tell her yes. Like so much else, even if I wanted to be rid of them, they were now with me for good.
I love that line. That was a perfect line. And it makes, like, perfect sense. Like, she can never wear these clothes, obviously. Like, they are, like, tarnished in her mind. But you also can't ever get rid of them. Like, yep, they're just going to – they live forever in her closet now. Like, that's just – it just is.
Yep, it just is.
So good.
So good.
Like, dang. Sarah.
You've done it again. So then a little while later, Layla comes up with this idea that she wants them to become delivery drivers together, like both of them.
Delivering in pairs. I was like, I get it. I get what she's going at. That is pretty clever.
Yes. She's like really serious about this. She's like, picture it. A market niche will establish a specific visual brand of customer service. And she's recently read a small business marketing book, obviously. And Mac is like, no, thank you. It's not safe, not a good idea. And she's like, but we'll be together. And we'll leave you to the runs in the sketchy neighborhoods. And he's like, what if all the calls are from bad neighborhoods? And then she said, then we'll probably need to rethink our marketing, wouldn't you say? Which is kind of funny. And you said you said yourself deliveries are up. So she's like, deliveries are up. Like, let's keep it in the family. Let's do it. Layla's like, I need to start getting more experience if I'm going to do it full time after I graduate. And Mac's like, well, that's not happening. And she's like, well, it should be. A girl can't move into a leadership position. What do you think? And their dad is like, I thought we were talking about delivering pizza. So anyway, this goes on. And they do decide that Mr. Chatham does decide that they can do some runs to residential areas on weekends during the daytime, but not in evenings and no apartment complexes. Very fair. Very fair. Yeah,
I think that's fair.
I like it. I like, see, now this dad is keeping his daughter safe from predators.
Yes. And we appreciate that wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. That's mm-hmm. Pick up yeah. on that.
Not Real have them sleep over in their house. Mm-hmm. So, she's so excited. Lila's so excited. And Mac's going to train them. And Sydney didn't even, like, know she was signing up for this. But she's like, you know what? Whatever. I'm into it.
Yeah. She's like, and I guess I'm delivering pizzas now. Cool, cool.
Yep. But she was surprised at how much she enjoyed it. She really liked, well, since the night I'd stayed over, we'd definitely been more friendly with each other, her and Mac. Although she could sense that it was important to keep their distance when they were around Layla because of how angrily she talked about Kimmy Crandall dating him and dumping him. And so she's worried about losing that friendship. Mm-hmm. Layla gets bored immediately when he's going over the safety procedures, but Sydney's into it. She's like, I'm intrigued by this whole idea of the delivery business. There was something about going up to strangers' houses, getting a glimpse of another place and the lives within it that appealed to me. Maybe it was because I felt that for so long people had been outside my family peering in. It was nice for once to be on the other side of things.
I like that. I can understand. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that makes total sense to me.
Mm-hmm. I look in people's windows.
We can and we will make anything into a Taylor Swift reference. Yeah. Can I just say, this has nothing to do with anything, but speaking of like the way a Swiftie's brain works versus like how other people work, and also I just think like in fandom in general, that I was talking about. Okay, this is like such a random tangent. You're gonna be like, how is this related? But I swear there's a connection. But anyways, I was talking about like when you're a true fan of something, you want like, I'm not saying I'm not like, but like I'm wearing an entire ass shirt with Taylor Swift's face all over it. I'm not ashamed to wear stuff like that. Like I'm like, yes, I went to the Eras Tour. Please talk to me about it by all means. But at the same time, I also like some of my favorite Swiftie merch is something that's like clever and like you have to be in the know. Like a fellow Swiftie could spot me and I'd be like, oh, they know. And we could like get the reference and it's like, oh, I get that reference, you know? So I was like, my favorite kind of merch in any fandom is something that's like subtle references. And I was thinking like people in my life that obviously everyone in my life knows I'm a big Taylor Swift fan. And it's funny, like, because I was talking, this came up because we were talking about, there's a Wicked pop-up shop, and this week I'm going to be in Orlando, and I was like, oh, I'm really excited to go to the Universal Wicked pop-up shop, because, like, obviously I'm obsessed, like, the rest of the planet is. And so I was looking at some of the stuff, and I was like, I love all the shit stuff. And so a friend was like, oh, is it because it's blue? And I was like, first of all, if we were picking things based on color, I would be getting all the Glinda stuff, because I love pink. And I was like, but no, I just like it because, like, if I just wear a shirt that says Wicked on it, anyone can get that. Everyone knows what I am. I'm like, but if you wear something that's, like, shiz, people are like, oh, I get, like, that's from, like, you know that they're a fan, you know? And exactly. I was like, I just always like that kind of stuff. And I was thinking, I was like, it's so funny. Like, the people in my life that have bought me, like, Swiftie merch, if they are not a fan of Taylor Swift, they just buy you, like, generic things that say Swiftie on it. And you're like, that's cute. I like it. Like, don't get me wrong. But if they are a fan, they get you something that, like, only another fan understands. And I just like, I think there's something beautiful about that. And that's why I always kind of like gravitate toward that stuff. Again, there's nothing wrong with wearing a shirt with Taylor Swift's face all over it or whatever. But yeah, like the fact that the two of us read a book and we're talking about people peering in and we're just like, I look in people's with like, like when it is so a part of your everyday life, like when every Taylor's like, there's a Taylor Swift song for everything. Like, yeah, it's just, it hits different. Which also is makes me think of that song.
But it's different because it's you, Taylor. It's you, Taylor, and it's different.
Exactly. But yeah, so that's because I like when I was saying it, I felt like to my friends, I probably sounded really pretentious. I was like, I like subtle things. I was like, and it's not because I'm not afraid to like let my fandom freak flag fly. It's just like, it's fun if you were on the street and you're wearing something that only another fan is going to get and they get it. And then you're like, oh, they got it.
Yes.
Like, that is fun to me.
Yes, exactly. That's why my Harry Potter tattoo is so incredibly specific and random.
Yes.
And most people don't get it. Most people do think that it's Hermione.
Great, because I don't want people to know.
Yeah, and now I'm like, it's a little big and it's a little in your face. I don't know what to do about that, but at one point, Okay, my dad invites me to play cribbage and I always forget, or like, I don't know if I like forget, I just miss it. And I realized that it made him sad the other day, so I'm just gonna play
I'm not gonna do it real quick.
Yeah, we just gotta play that a little bit while we're recording. It's fun. It's just like cribbage. I didn't realize. Have you ever played cribbage?
No, like it's one of those things I know of, but I've never actually played. So when people are like, "Oh, I'm playing cribbage," I'm like, "What does that entail?" Like I don't entirely know.
Well, my family always played it. My like brothers have made these like really beautiful like cribbage boards, and it's like a whole family thing. And when I went home over the summer, I had my dad teach it to me again. And now we have this little app where we play together.
I love that. That's actually very sweet.
I know. It's very wholesome. So where are we?
She was saying like people peering in for once to be on the other end of things, like why she's kind of enjoying this delivery world, and we're right at their first stop, which was the guy in the bathroom.
Yes, the first stop is a guy in the bathrobe. He is like, doesn't say anything to them, just hands them the money and goes.
Bold to open the door in a bathrobe. I could never.
Yes. There's also a row of laptops lined up on the coffee table.
Yeah.
So I wonder what that's about.
I'm like, what are you doing, sir? Got questions. Is he a gamer? Is he a coder? Is he writing his manifesto? I don't know. So many options.
You know, I have a lot of questions about manifestos.
Yeah, that's fair. I do too. Why are certain things manifestos and like other things aren't? Like, what makes it a manifesto? Do you have to like kill someone for it to be a manifesto?
Exactly. What constitutes a manifesto? What length, you know, how, like, constitutes a manifesto?
Things are assassinations and certain things are murders. Like, I understand. I didn't back in the day, but inevitably, you know, obviously I understand the distinction between those two things now, but I'm like, yeah, like what makes it a manifesto?
Yeah. Well, does it have to be a specific length? And every single time they're like, we caught the suspect with his manifesto, I always picture, do you remember the episode of Boy Meets World where they like do a plays with squirrels?
Yes.
Anyway,
the second you said boy, I was like, I know exactly where you didn't have to finish Meets World. And I knew exactly where you were going with it.
Yep. Plays with squirrels.
You know, you're a millennial woman win.
Yeah, literally. But that's what I always picture. And it's like, you know, massive and like insane.
Is it like, can a manifesto not be like someone's mad scribblings in a journal? Do you have to be like printed and bound for it to be a manifesto?
Right. Is it type?
No. Is it
type? Is there a length requirement? Is there a word count? Yeah. Like, is one paragraph a manifesto?
Right. Yeah. Or can you scribble something on a bar napkin and that's manifesto? Or it has to be like a certain amount of length, right? Because if not, it would just be like, like a confession to these crimes or whatever. Obviously, you can tell what side of the internet we're on. But everyone has been thinking about it. We're like, manifestos. Listen, y'all, this is a fascinating case, okay? And if you're absolutely like fascinated by it, I don't know how your brain works. I'm sorry, I don't understand, because I'm eating all of it up with a spoon since the second this started. The manhunt, the catching him in a McDonald's, if it even really is him, did they frame him, this, that, the other thing,
the Monopoly money,
the Monopoly money. What does it mean? What does it mean? What does it all mean?
What does it all mean?
I'm just fascinated by it. And then, everyone being like talking about other people, like the Unabomber's manifestos. And I was like, what? Like, why do certain people get manifestos? And other people, it's just like, oh, yeah, like we found their confession in, you know, their journal, blah, blah, whatever. What makes a difference, I guess, is what we want to know. Someone out there is probably screaming at us being like, it's so obvious. But like, no one, we all talk about manifestos, but no one ever in school explains to you what it really is. And again, for most millennials, our first exposure was in Boy Meets World.
Yes. My manifesto.
So don't ask us. We don't know.
Oh, let me text Pa really quick just so he doesn't think I ignored him. He didn't join the game.
He invited you and then he didn't join?
Yeah.
No, it's in my manifesto. Like, I want to know if good people or like, because it sounds like people who, I'm not throwing judgment on any of these people, but like people that are going out, like usually causing some kind of havoc, death is involved in somewhere, people that are writing manifestos. Can I, as a, like a person who doesn't want to go out and, you know, harm anyone with a manifesto, or is it only, you know, these are the things I need to know.
These are the things I need to know. Also, like, this is going to be a long ass episode.
The big double size finale of the last episode of the year.
Bing, bang, boom, ba-dam, boom. Okay, let me shut this back off in case he's like, oh, I'm back. Okay.
Things people didn't know we would be discussing tonight. Cribbage and manifesto. And yet here we are.
So the next stop, they interrupted a teenage Bible study. They asked if they wanted to join them for a slice and some testimony. They said no. But, and here's what's unrealistic.
Yes. Okay. I also wanted to go on a rant about this. Preach it, sister. Tell the people.
It says they tipped generously.
Bitch, no, they wouldn't have.
No. Nobody tips worse than a family all wearing Bible verses on their shirt.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Like, when you hand them their meal, or like, would you like to pray with us? And I'm like, big nope, actually. And then you get tipped the worst tip of your life from these
people. The worst tip of your life.
Anyone who ever invites you to church while you are serving them, delivering them food, doing whatever you are doing in food and beverage industry, if they, are talking to you about Jesus, they are not giving you money.
No. And like, when I worked at Universal, there was like a phenomenon, I don't know if this continued, where like matching family t-shirts were like religion themed.
Yes.
Which was always strange, but it's like, you're walking up to a table that just got sat and you see a huge ass cross and you're just like, fuck.
God, or how many teenagers were going around in those like virginity rock shirts, which I just thought was such a weird thing to wear at a theme park. I was like, virginity rock. Look back on these family pictures and be like, y'all, why'd you make me wear that at 14?
In public.
The amount I saw, literally, y'all, for like a 2-year span at Universal, I was like, you're out in public with that, like hundreds of thousands of other people today wearing a virginity rocks shirt. Okay. All right. Respect.
My husband went to a fundamentalist Baptist school growing up. And hold on. Sorry. I'm sorry. I have to have a conversation with my father at the same time. You just never know. You know what I mean? What was I saying? Oh, let me ask. Andrew, did you ever know kids who wore t-shirts that say Virginity Rocks?
No, we weren't. You weren't supposed to talk about that. That was just like off the table.
The Satan.
The Satan. Classes for that, and then you just don't talk about that.
I forgot, I guess. I typically forget how fundamentalist his schooling was. And then I'm reminded. How many
people in his class had teenage pregnancies? Because
zero. No teenage pregnancies?
Were there no teenage pregnancies? Of course there are teenage pregnancies.
Plenty of teenage pregnancies.
Yeah, they weren't talking about it. They didn't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here we go. He's back.
He's ready to cribbage.
Not in this
room.
Okay. Not in his actual school. Okay. Interesting. This is good. You heard it here first, folks.
Oh, I do kind of need to like pay attention though. That's the thing.
It's hard. You're like, I can't read.
It is hard. I'm like, wait.
I can't book club and cribbage.
I also don't remember how to play that. I'm like, wait, what should I? It's my crib. Okay, let's do this then.
My favorite thing. All we're gonna watch in real time is Michael Ann is like, oh god, I can't.
Oh god.
Our brain is like short circuits on us from trying to pay attention to this book and also Gribbage.
Oh, I won.
Oh, around. Hey. Oh wow, it's quick.
Well, around.
There's multiple rounds.
So anyway, yes, the Christians, they don't tip. That's a lie.
No.
And
I don't know where this like virginity, but y'all, when I tell you the amount of shirts I saw, like it must have been like a youth group giving these out. I now carry on with the book because we're never going to get through this, but I now need to research the Virginity Rocks shirts. You never saw any. It's supposed to have been after your time. You never saw any though, like Raglan Road. These people coming in wearing them.
No, I definitely have seen the Virginity Rocks shirts, I feel like.
Yeah. But like, I've got to know, like, where did this start, you know?
Oh, I won this round, y'all.
Well, apparently, so you know. It was started by a YouTube star. This guy, Danny Duncan, came up with it.
Oh, I think I knew that.
Is he like, I'm assuming he's some kind of Christian YouTuber, but I don't know his situation. But I like that, like, that's the merch that he sold. On the other hand, we're going to sell merch one day that says Vagina Christmas. So, we're clearly on opposite ends of the spectrum.
Oh my god.
That is the origins, apparently. Whoever you are, Danny Duncan, in your Virginity Rock shirts.
Good for you, buddy.
Good for you.
So, next up, Teenage Bible. So then we did the Walker Hotel. Mm-hmm. Somebody had to come downstairs and get that. So Mac is like, you know, apparently he says it's a good, like they did good. Mac must have put a good spin on the experience because we were allowed to go ahead with our trial run that weekend. So on Saturday after 11:30, Layla and I stood in the parking lot waiting for him to bring out a magnetic sign for my car from the office. 10 minutes later, he had still not emerged. And so she's like, he'll do anything to keep me from cutting into his tip profits. And she's adjusting her outfit. She has a seaside t-shirt, jeans, and black motorcycle boots. That's what she wants their uniform to be. Sydney is wearing Rosie's motorcycle boots and they don't fit. So they're really committing to this.
Yes. Committing to the bit. We respect.
So, So she's trying to defend Mac and she's like, I think it's more of a protective thing. Like he's worried about you. And Layla's like, well, he shouldn't be. It's not warfare. So she gets really impatient. And they finally start.
She's like being one of those people who's like looking at her wrist, like, hello, it's taking forever. And so he's like, you're not even wearing a watch. Like, what are you doing? Like when he comes out, like they're just being very like sibling bands, essentially.
Yeah.
Is the vibe. And then he kind of like does prepare them for war because, you know, she's all like, you know, Sydney's thinking like, oh, Layla's being like a bit dramatic. Like, I don't think he's like taking that seriously. And then he comes out and he's like, step back. You know, and if you're making change, turn your back. If you're ever in doubt or feel weird, just leave the pizza. It's not worth it. Which is like very sweet, like nice big brother. And also it's like, yeah, that is like genuine street smart. It's like no $15 pizza is worth your life. Like if you ever feel sketchy or weird, like get the hell out of Dodge. Especially if your dad is the business owner, he's not gonna fault you for that. I hope you like thank you for coming back to the business alive. Like we'll take the loss. We'll take the L on that one.
Yes. So their first order is in the arbors. Mm-hmm. And Layla's kind of joking around and is like, we need to be careful though. You know how dangerous those rich people can be. And rich people are dangerous. They're the most dangerous people in the world. Actually. Because
they have never been told no or been denied anything ever in their life. And that makes them very dangerous. Like
yes.
They're used to getting what they want. And have a lot of money and power and good lawyers that they can hire with that. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so much like, look how up in arms everybody is over the, we're going to get canceled off of, like, we're never going to be able to monetize. ever. But ever. Everybody's, you know, up in arms about the shooter, the health insurance guy who got shot.
Yeah.
And it's like these same people are also like literally signing bombs that are like going off to kill people in Gaza. So like,
so it's like, hi, pot meat kettle. Like, we're critical of you much. And they're the same people that like refuse to pass any legislation for gun safety. Like,
right. Exactly.
Well, you know, so I don't really think you could be upset if someone off someone and you never do anything to prevent it.
Right. Like so many, like we can't go down this road. We've already been recording for an hour.
Yeah, I'm prepared for that. It's going to be lazy.
We no, can't just 3 hour episode. It can't go all night here.
But so yes.
Anyway, they go to this rich house and this little cutie opens the door. Blonde, blue eyes, broad shoulders, wearing a U football jersey. Sounds very all-American. Sounds very Arbors. He kind of like thinks Layla's cute and she kind of thinks he's cute. And they're kind of flirting a little bit and...
You're perfect. You're perfect. So we're perfect together. It's the vibe that they're getting off here.
It is. It is. So yeah, they're flirting and he's like, how much for delivery? And she's like, for you, it's free. And he's like... If I were to order an other, would you deliver it? And she's like, maybe. So this guy orders 3 pizzas so that they have to keep going back. And him and Layla are just like being cute. And when he comes back for the third, when he comes back for the third pizza, Max, like, are you kidding me? Like, what the hell is going on here? And she's like, he's like, you know what? You're done. You're not going to be delivering this pizza. Absolutely not. I'm going to go deliver this pizza. But ultimately, Sydney delivers it because it's in her neighborhood. And she gets there and he's visibly disappointed that it's not, you know, her. Yeah, she's visibly disappointed that it's not Layla. But he gives her his number to give to Layla. Oh, yeah. Mac also tells him to text when she's leaving his house, the delivery, which is very cute. And I'm like, Mac, you're just like so cute.
What a gentleman.
But anyway, yeah, she gives the number. She texts Mac. And then Mac's like, did he ask for her number? And she's like, no, because technically she didn't. And she's seeing some red flags from this guy. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right off jump. She's like, I know who this man is. Okay. And
I know his type.
I know his type. So anyway, she's like, he did give me his number for you, whatever. And she's like all excited and a row of smiley faces. And she's like all happy. And she says, but it was Max text I was focused on as I cut my engine. Add to contacts, my phone was asking. As it did whenever an unknown number came in, it felt like a leap of faith or even an assumption. But as I typed in his name and hit save, I looked back at those rows of faces and smiled too. She's got herself Max phone number.
Ooh, save to contacts, girl. Yes.
Save to contacts.
I love that for her. I love that for them.
I do too.
I was like, ooh, she got his number. She got his number.
So,
her safety, so sweet. Chapter 14. Here we go. His name was Mason Albert Spencer, but everyone called him Spence. And we're about to learn a little bit about our boy Spence here. And he's basically quickly becomes Layla's boyfriend. He's kind of like love bombing her a little bit. Like it gets a little intense, a little quickly. And yeah. Like we said, our girl Sydney sees red flags from the get go. But she loves Layla. Layla seems so happy. Layla's gushing like he's just the sweetest. You know, they're like sitting there eating pizza one day after school. They're like norm routine. Mm-hmm. And she tells, you know, he even eats french fries in a weird way. So, of course, she thinks that they're meant to be. It makes me think of that scene in 500 Days of Summer when she's like, just because she likes the same weird crap as you doesn't mean you're meant to be. And it's like, yes, just because he also is like weirdly – has a weird routine in french fries doesn't mean you're meant to be. But when you are a teenage girl and you're someone like Layla, who I feel like doesn't have that best taste in guys, who we've kind of already established, like – and also, like, Eric is right there and, like – I know that he's also kind of a douche nozzle, but he does not seem as much of a douche nozzle. So anyways, Sydney basically realizes that this guy is giving her like her brother vibes, where he's like very charismatic, very, you know, charming, but he definitely has kind of like maybe not the best track record. Like, we learned that this is his like third school. He does a lot of volunteering, and she says, even more than Jen, the most altruistic person I knew. Sure, maybe he had a big heart and wanted to give back, but I knew mandatory community service when I saw it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's definitely not like telling the whole truth probably about his situation. And yeah, so she's kind of like third wheeling it a lot, I think, because she's just like concerned about her friend, you know? And she's like, I could kind of tell that they like wanted some alone time, but I was going to make her spell it out to me. Like, I wasn't just going to give in because, yeah, things aren't like looking great. And she's not even like really told Mac or her dad or anyone since. Hold on. Mike is texting me.
I do just want to say one thing when you check that. The fact that Layla can read him like a book and she knows that he's full of shit is like another, I think it can be considered like another way to show how they're in different classes, you know, like socially or economically.
Right.
Because she's like, this perfect little white boy, and I know what he's doing. I know what this is, but Layla doesn't have a lot of experience with those kinds of guys.
So she's like kind of charmed by him.
Yeah, and so she's charmed.
I get it. But I'm like, Layla, you're so much better than this boy. Like, this boy is so not worth your time. But yeah. So yeah, so they're kind of just like, and basically she finally does, like, she, you know, she said she wanted like Layla to like spell it out for her. So she kind of says, like, at lunch, she's like, you know, we just like want to get to know each other, like, alone. And so the boys are like fighting over the band name as per usual. And she's like, you know, like, if I just like, since he lives in the Arbors and you live in the Arbors, if I went home with you every once in a while. And Sydney doesn't like this because she's like, you want me to lie to Mac? Like, I'm saying they're coming to me, but like, you know, Mac's gonna pick you up from there, but you're not really there. And she's like, you know, no, like, it's not lying. Like, I'll be at your house, just like not the entire time. So she says the first time everything went according to plan, they do go back to her house after school. She says that her mom like immediately goes back into like snack and school day summary mode, which it's like, okay, I guess like having someone else come over is kind of like snapped her mom out of it a little bit, which nice, I guess. And then she like goes after her war room to do stuff for the Lincoln graduation. And they are like, oh, we're going to go like walk the neighborhood. And she goes to meet up with Spence. So she tells her, you know, like, we'll meet in an hour. And she's like, yep, awesome. And Layla's like so happy. And so she's like going along with it, even though like he kind of gives her the ick and the whole situation she just feels wrong about. But yeah, like everything goes according to plan. Mac comes and gets her. Happy days. The second time does not. she says two things happened. Layla was late and Mac showed up unexpectedly. So she's sitting out on the curb. And she's stressing, y'all. Like, she is stressing. He shows up and he's like, hey, what are you doing? And she's like, this was a fair question. Unfortunately, I did not have an answer. Just sitting, I said, waiting. Something about that line was like so comedic gold for me. like, I could just, she's like, sitting here waiting. And so he's like, four. And she's like, Layla. And he knows, like, he immediately knows. He's like, she's with that guy, you know? And she's like, oh God, like, I'm so sorry. And she's like, you knew? And he's like, please, you guys are not that stealth. And so she's like, hey. And then I like this too. He's like, wait, you want to be a good liar? Like, she's like, okay, fair point. Touche. So, you know, she's like, he really likes him. I also think this is really sweet of him. He says, she must, if she's leaving you sitting here all alone. Mac. was like, oh my God, stop. So he has to run on delivery. He's like, want to come? She's clearly not here. I have to go do this, like, whatever. So she's like, bet, let's go. And so she texts Layla and she's like, alert, alert, Mac has shown up. She tells her we're going for deliveries. Please still meet in the same spot, whatever. Obviously, Layla is stressing. She's like, shit, okay, yep, sorry. So they head out and Layla, of course, is sorry. And our girl Sydney's like, I wasn't, because there I was in Mac's truck and it's meant to be. And I felt like I belonged there. I mean, and then he has like pliers like dangling there to like start up his car, his starter. And she's like, is your car broken? Is everything okay? And he's like, no, like that's, it's an old truck. Like I fixed it to be that way. And so she says, oh, Layla said you like to tinker with stuff, which I love this exchange. She's like, I don't tinker. Tinkering's for grandfathers and shop aprons. And he says that, he's like, she's like, oh, it's like a tender spot or whatever. And so he says that Layla has the tendency to make everything I do sound kind of twee. My woods wandering, my tinkering. It's like I'm her own personal gnome or something. And
I love that.
Like, as an older brother, you're like, my dude, can you please stop explaining the things I do like that? Like, whatever. And I love that that's the way Layla sees it, though. Like, again, she is such a romantic. Like, she, like we said in the last chapter, like, has a story for each outfit she remembers. She has it categorized. Like, she is a romantic soul. And I love that the way she views her brother is like that, you know? He hates it, obviously. He's like, this is embarrassing. I fix things. I go for walks. Like, please stop calling it that. But she was like, you know, okay. So this part I liked. He says, there's no shame in trying to make stuff work is how I see it. It's better than just accepting the broken. And I was like, Mira Sparks would love you, sir. She would take you in. Yes. I was like, I was like, oh my God, Mira. And I was like, oh my God, I want them to meet. Like in my happy fantasy world, like they would be best friends. And I was like, yes. And I love that that's a recurring theme in Sarah's books. And I love that like Mac is like that. Oh, the mirror is like that. Fantastic. So yes, he fixes things. He doesn't, you know, he's like, it's not broken. I can fix it. So he likes, you know, old things and being able to fix them. So they continue on to the gymnastics school and it's a big order. So she helps him carry it in and all these girls are swooning over him, which like, of course, and he is so embarrassed by the attention. Like he hates it. So Coach Washington comes on over and she's like, you know, talking to him. Clearly he makes this delivery often. And she's like, oh, like how's our favorite pizza guy? And he's just like very embarrassed. And so he's just like, yep, lots of big order today. And she's like, oh yeah, we're doing a scrimmage. The girls were like waiting behind the glass and they're like, do you have a girlfriend? Which is so like 12-year-old girls. And because of course he's there with a girl. And of course, Sydney like steps in and you know, tries to get him out of the embarrassing situation. And she's like, no, I'm an employee in training. And you know, they kind of just, you know, hand off the money, whatever. And of course all the girls are like, goodbye, Mac. And Sydney's like eating this up with a spoon. She's like, this is fantastic. She's like, if all you knew was going crazy over someone famous on TV, like Logan Oxford, meaning the real life equivalent, was almost too much to take. Yes, when you like that older popular boy, well, he's not popular, but you know, that older pop guy. So, anyways, she tells him, like, oh, look, you're pretty popular with this crowd. And she's like, and so, you know, he's like, doesn't like it, like being flattered and admired or whatever. And he's like, you know, like, would you? And she's like, honestly, no, probably not. And she's like, but, you know what, maybe it'd be better than being invisible. Cause she says, I'm kind of used to being invisible. So any kind of attention makes me nervous. She says, this was something I thought a lot, but never said aloud. It was the first time, but far from the last, that I understood being with Mac had this particular effect on me. Before I could regroup, he spoke. And I'm like, oh, I really like him. You feel comfortable with him. So he's like, you invisible, seriously? And she's like, yeah, like, you don't understand. Like, with my brother, like, Peyton just kind of, like, overpowers everyone. Like, you haven't seen him in a room. Like, I am nothing compared to, like, his charm and whatnot. And so he's like, oh, like, he's got a big personality. And she's like, yeah, like, you have no idea. So, you know, he says, like, sometimes it's preferable not to be seen. Before I lost the weight, people either stared or made concentrated effort not to look at me. I preferred the second option, still do. which I can understand. And again, like going through such a dramatic like transformation like he has, like it's got to be very weird now to get attention. And like, yeah, just the whole thing is, I get it. Yeah. So anyways, they just have like this really nice, you know, like little moment about being invisible. And then he kind of talks again about like, you know, his diet, those terrible Quakers. And I also like that, like, this is the time before, like, Fitbits and, like, Apple Watches were big. Because he's like, I brought my GPS when he was, like, walking out in the woods to track the route.
I know
how far I'd gone. And I was like, oh, that's so funny.
That's
like,
so oh, funny.
Talks about, like, you know, when he found the carousel. And at first he kept it a secret. But then he, like, it was too good not to share. And Sydney's thinking, like, oh, like, what that must be like having good secrets, you know? So... she, you know, talks about how she used to love like wandering the woods with Peyton, but now she doesn't anymore. And she's like, it feels different now, scarier, which I was like, yeah, because now you're a female walking by yourself. I too would feel that way. Yeah. And so she's like, you know, maybe I need a patron saint of wanderers or woods. And he says, I'm sure they exist. They have like one for everything. His mom is like really into it, obviously, which is how he got his pendant originally. And, so anyway, so they, he says that, you know, he's personally not wholly convinced, but he's sure that it can't hurt. So, you know, he keeps it on. And again, it's the reminder and all that jazz. But she's like, yeah, like, I'm sure, you know, it can't. So anyways, they head back to the meeting spot. Layla is there, or not quite there. She hasn't shown up yet. So again, they're just like having this little moment in the car. She's all like, thank you so much for bringing me along. Like, honestly. And he's like, you like this? Like, you like delivering pizza? And so she kind of tells him, you know, about how she likes looking at people's window about, you know, what it means to her. And she's like, you probably think I'm crazy drawing some deep symbolism from a pizza delivery. And he's like, yeah, actually, kind of. And he's like, no, but, you know, like, it makes sense. And, it, you know, I like it. And so, you know, she's kind of embarrassed. She's kind of embarrassed. And she's like, oh, my God, I'm such a moron. Like, she just says that out loud. And he's like, nah, like, you're not. Like, no, it's, you know, it's sweet. So they have this little moment, and she's like, for a moment, we just looked at each other. It was late afternoon in the fall. The sky, the pretty pink you only see right before sunset, like the day is taking a bow. I was in a new place with someone that I didn't know that well, and yet it felt like the most natural thing in the world, another groove already worn. To lean forward as he did until they were face to face, his fingers still gripping my arm. Then Spence and Layla walked out. Dang it! Dang it! Dang it! They were about to have a moment.
Mm-hmm.
So they immediately jump back, Avi, and like, honestly, Sydney's kind of stressed because she's like, oh my God, what did Layla see? Like, I hope she's not mad. And Layla's like, so in her own mind, like in her own problems right now, that she's like, hey, I'm sorry. So Spence tries to come up and you know, charm, you know, meeting the brother. He's like, you must be Mac. Mac's not having it. And Layla points out, like, it's not his fault that I lied, you know, whatever. And so, you know, she's like, fine, I'll bring him by Seaside tomorrow to introduce him to Dad. Like, will that make you happy? And he's like, fine about me. Like, let's go. Wrap it up. We have to go. Mom's waiting. So she's like, let me just say goodbye. They go over, have their little, like, Mac moment. And Sydney's like, you know, I should go home, too. And he's like, oh, like, you want a ride? And she's like, no, it's just a blog. Like, I can make it. And then, y'all, done the sweetest shit ever. That's so good.
I love
so
it.
He's like, you know, anytime. So he goes, hey, Sydney. She's like, yeah. And he says, you had on a shirt with mushrooms on it and your hair was pulled back, silver earrings, pepperoni slice, and no lollipop. So she just looks at him kind of confused. And he's like, the first time you came into Seaside, you weren't invisible, not to me, just so you know. Yeah.
Y'all, they're in love.
That is the sweetest. And then they part ways. And that is where we leave you with that swoon-worthy moment to savor over this holiday break. And we will jump into chapter 15 in the new year.
Yes.
But like, young love. That scene is another I am a millennial woman moment. Reminds me of one of my favorite scenes in Dawson's Creek of all time, which is in season 3 when like Pacey and Joey are finally becoming the thing. And she's talking about this like bracelet that she lost or like whatever. And he tells her, she's like, oh, you probably know. He's like, no, you told me. And he like tells her exactly remember. And he tells her, he's like, I remember everything. And I'm just like, shut the front door. And that is very reminiscent of this. The fact that he like remembers, he remembers what earrings should. Teenage boys are terrible with that kind of stuff. They don't know what gold is. They don't know what silver earrings are. And he can tell her that she was wearing silver earrings. The first, she walked into Seaside, y'all, and completely like shook him to the very core. That's love. That's beautiful.
It is beautiful, and I love it.
So good. Okay. Everyone, once again, thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us here in this 2024 season of 8 Spinnerbait, I guess. I like to think of each year as like seasons. We'll be back, like I said, to read Saint Anything, Dubai Weekly Chaos. We're going to be talking decoms. We will still be talking Taylor Swift, I'm certain of it. Any other random things that come into our mind. But thank you. I know this year was a little hectic with the schedule. We had to take a few more hiatuses than we originally planned, but life is like that sometimes. And thank you for bearing with us as we navigate life. Hopefully we should be back on a much more regularly scheduled programming for 2025. Hopefully some exciting things abound. This year was a little crazy. Obviously, the end of the year didn't go the way we wanted it to in certain ways. But I'm still just very, you know, I literally every week, even though sometimes I'm tired and whatever, I love sitting down, obviously, and talking with Michael Ann. I love hearing from all of you guys. I love escaping into these books or these silly Disney Channel movies or whatever it is that we're doing. And I think we're all really going to need that in 2025. So if you would like to come and be part of our community and be part of hopefully a little weekly dose of happy, we would love to see you in the new year. But till then, of course, take care of yourselves. Happy Vagina Christmas, Vagina Hanukkah, Vagina whatever holiday you celebrate. And we will talk with you all very soon.
Yes. Take care of yourselves.
Bye. Hopefully when we come back, reputation has dropped. Okay, that's all for the clowning. Bye.
Bye.